98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Rush Hour Reboot.
This is how this works. Wolf is taken off today and tomorrow. Maloney sits in the pole stall behind Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker who's filling in for Wolf, and rapid fire different sports topics so you know what's going on and get an NFL player's opinion on it.
So ASU upset 14th-ranked Oregon last night.
By the way, so if you didn't know, Maloney went to Oregon. Yeah.
I'm 0-2 with Tempe this year. It's just not good. But anyway, the Sun Devils have now won 6 in a row and 8 of its last 9. So what is it like playing for a coach like Bobby Hurley? Here's Rob Edwards.
It's great. He's a true competitor. So every day he pushes us to go hard, even if we're tired or whatever. Anything we got going on, he's going to make us go hard. He's going to yell at us. And, you know, he did it. So he knows what he's talking about.
Do you think last night's win secured a spot for ASU in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think they're moving in the right direction. They're going to continue to, I think, play well. Obviously, they have a big game against Oregon State tomorrow night, and winning that game is going to propel them into the Pac-12 championship or Pac-12 tournament, and I think they're going to continue to do well and move up the rankings.
I'm going to say no, but for a positive reason. I think it was already secured. Now, if they fell totally, I guess secure is kind of a false word, because if they fell on their face, right, you could unsecure it, yeah, you know, so then how secure was it? I think they were already an NCAA tournament team. What this did, it avoids Dayton. Now I think they're really in the field of 64 and could be definitely a 7 seed, and they might be as high as a 5 right now.
Madison Bumgarner was one of the final D-backs pitchers to throw his first live session this spring. Torrey Lovello said yesterday that it will be several games into Cactus League schedule before Bumgarner takes the mound.
You know, I know it's not going to be midseason form first time out there, but I would like for it to be, so it's always disappointing.
Is this concerning or normal for an established pitcher like Mad Bum?
There is nothing that concerns me about Mad Bum until he gets shelled multiple times in a major league game. And Mad Bum, I hope you don't find offense to this. I want you to talk more. I want a daily beautiful part of this program that's all devoted to the sayings of Mad Bum.
I've been in the valley. You ain't been up off that porch now.
I don't find that nearly as funny as Wolf does, but I do after Mad Bum hearing that.
Yeah, I love him, man. That's a country boy at heart right there.
Yeah,
just hearing the way he talks, I could hang out with him any day, maybe go out with him backwoods and go hunting or something, right? But he's going to be fine. I mean, he's a competitor. Obviously, every time he steps out there, he wants to. He has a certain standard that he wants to show, and so I'm excited for him to have that, still have that mentality with all the success that he's had.
And think about it. Who knows better how to get Mad Bum ready, the D-backs or Mad Bum? I mean, we're not talking about a rookie. He knows what he's doing, you know?
Right.
D-backs managing general partner Ken Kedrick joined Burns and Gambo yesterday and spoke on a handful of subjects, including the Astros scandal and his reaction to Jim Crane's comments.
I think he was wrong. I think it's incontrovertible that the level of misdeeds that have been documented, of course it impacted the game.
When do you think this is going to be out of the news and it's just going to be over with?
Until somebody from the organization comes out and is honest about it, and then also being, punished at a certain level. I think people just haven't been appeased with the punishment level. And so the way it's kind of looking, if they strip them of their title, I think that's ultimately what would allow people to say, okay, but they still won it.
I apologize up front for being a total hypocrite, because I wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
But if they want it to go away, the players, I don't know what the number is, but I think it's about $450,000 is the World Series share. It might even be more than that. If you donate, if Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, and the big stars of that team donate that money to charity, but keep the title, I think it mostly ends. Would I do it as a player? Heck no, it's $450,000. But I'm saying if you want it to end, that would go a long way, and a lot of people going, okay, now you haven't benefited from it financially other than future contracts. I think it would end then, but I admit I wouldn't do it.
Former baseball money.
Yeah.
Former Cardinal and Super Bowl champion Tyrann Mathieu expressed his happiness for DJ Humphreys' new contract extension on Twitter, while also taking a slight jab at his former team. He tweeted, quote, "Big ups to Hump on the deal. Don't let them take it back," unquote. Just your reaction.
I love Ty, man. I've been around him, but that wasn't at the team. That was at somebody. So, obviously, somebody lied to him, told him something different than what actually happened, and that's why he's doing it.
I don't know Tyrann Mathieu other than, like, three conversations in my life with four other people standing around. So, I have no ability to talk, you know, specifically about Ty the man. But I got to tell you, from a financial business standpoint, as it relates to the way contracts work, that contract that the Cardinals signed him to was totally designed to bring both sides back to the table. There was no way you were going to take that big of a cap hit on a guy that you had injury concerns about when you signed him to the contract extension. And so I think everything happened exactly as it should. The Cardinals, if they wanted him, should have signed him to a contract that locked him in better. And if Tyrann Mathieu had every right to say, I'm upset that you want me to take a pay cut, and he eventually went out and proved him wrong. But he didn't do it immediately. It took a little while in Houston for him to do well, and he was nails with Kansas City. So if he wants to be bitter, go ahead. You're a great player. But I think it's a little misguided.
NFL owners accepted the negotiated terms of a new proposed collective bargaining agreement, sending the vote to players ahead of a potential agreement between the sides. So just really quickly, what are your guys' overall thoughts on the proposed CBA? Would you guys like a 17-game season?
No, I would not like a 17-game season, but that doesn't mean it's not going to go through. And I think overall, you feel like you should feel when you do a CBA, kind of in the middle somewhere. You're not going to feel all great about it because you negotiate with an opposing side.
As a fan, I don't want 16 games. I don't agree that fans. Well, yeah, I don't want 17 games. Those of you that disagree with me, okay. You know, if you want more as a fan, who am I to tell you shouldn't get more? I want it to stay at 16. The only thing I don't want to hear is players whining about player safety if they vote yes. Now, the ones that vote no and get forced into it, I'm with you. But you can't say, they don't care about me, they don't care about me, and then take the money. Do you have the right to? Absolutely. None of my business. But I don't want the hypocrisy of you claiming you're not doing enough to protect me, owners, as I vote yes for a 17th game. That's not something that makes a lot of sense to me. Now, what would I vote? I don't know. I don't have any idea how I would vote, because right. I think it all depends on, am I a rookie? Am I in my third year? Have I already made big money? Do I have five more years in the league and I don't want to go through that?
Right.
I don't know where I would be. I don't know.
Yep.
Coming up next, Suns assistant coach Willie Green joins the show live from Toronto. Start with a back-to-back. The big question, do they expect anything different from Devin Booker? Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. It's the Suns Coaches Show with Duggan Wolf, presented by First Bank. First Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Phoenix Suns. First Bank, banking for good, member FDIC.
Suns get an extended break with the All-Star game. And then what do? They get dropped a back-to-back in their face on the road, no doubt, as they've got Toronto tonight. And joining us right now is Willie Green, assistant coach with the Phoenix Suns. And if you didn't know, former coach and championship assistant coach with Golden State and helping out Klay Thompson and Seth Curry. Willie, good morning. Is this the highlight of your career being on the Duggan Wolf Show right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited.
Good.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good, thanks. Wolf took the day off today, so Lorenzo Alexander, former Bill and even Oakland Raider NorCal guy, is in studio with us. So I'm sure that there's going to be some Golden State memories that he's going to want to have with you. One of our biggest questions, I think, as a fan base, is how do you think, positively or negatively, either way, Devin Booker will be different now that we say Devin Booker All-Star?
Wow. First of all, we're all extremely proud of Devin. But I just think moving forward, it's something that he's worked extremely hard to prove himself, and he's changed some things up about his game this year for the better of our team. And it's really, really rewarding to see those sacrifices pay off for him.
And so, you know, obviously you've been playing, you know, coach with Steph and Clay out there in Golden State. What have you brought maybe from them that's maybe helped him in his game and going through this transition as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, Devin, we all know how dynamic of a scorer he is. The one thing that we try to harp on just a tad is his movement without the ball, you know, being able to give the ball up and score on defenses in different ways, whether it's off the, you know, catch and shoot, off the bounce, and then, you know, just his movement. That wears defenses down when you can score on them in multiple ways. And Devin's been doing a really good job, and, you know, he's leading our team.
Right, and kind of off of that, you know, obviously early in the season, you know, ball movement is always an emphasis in your system. And so with – you know, kind of how the season has turned out, that's kind of slowed down in some sense. And, you know, obviously Devin is trying to do it, but I know that's more of like a team emphasis as well. What are some of the things that you guys are harping on as far as trying to get that back in part of your flow of the game? Because obviously that leads to success, especially in this system, the way you guys play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're still one of the top teams. And, you know, our assist rate is something that we've come into the season, you know, telling our guys that, you know, it's important for us to, you know, have ball movement, player movement. And then, you know, we had a string of injuries where we really relied on Devin. We relied on Kelly more to have to score one-on-one. And now that we're getting our team back healthy, you know, we want to look to get back out, play with pace and play with that ball movement and player movement that you mentioned.
Suns assistant coach Willie Green filling in for Monty Williams simply because they're in the middle of a coaches meeting right now, and it's game day taking on Toronto tonight. You can hear the game right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports. Or is that, you know what, it'll be on ESPN 620 AM tonight. I'm wondering, Willie, you mentioned you as soon as Zoe asked you about kind of moving off of Steph and Clay and what that can do to help Devin. I think the most underrated thing there is about Steph Curry, and correct me if I'm wrong, is his conditioning. And nobody ever talks about that because every kid in the world now thinks they're a 30-foot jump shooter, but nobody wants to run that much in one 24-second shot clock to get the ball. How often he gets rid of the ball, and he's already open 3 seconds later because he keeps moving. How do you get, and not that Devin's not there, but to that level of player movement, not just ball movement, how do you get more players to see that side of Steph Curry and not just the 30-foot jumper?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And Steph's conditioning is one of his, you know, attributes. He's learned that if he has the ball in his hand and he just scores one way, you know, he can be shut down. And so he's a guy that really works at, you know, giving the ball up, running down the court, you know, shooting threes or driving to the basket. And everybody's game, you know, all these guys, their games are different. They're unique. And I think Devin has a good mixture of all of that. You know, he can score with the ball in his hand. He can take you to the post. He can catch and shoot. He can move. His conditioning is really, really good. And so just trying to drip feed him some of the things that I've seen those guys do. But just his game in general, you know, he's a guy that's a high-level scorer. And so whenever he has the ball, off the ball, he's going to draw attention.
As a guy that has been an assistant coach in the league coaching against Devin Booker, how have you helped him prepare for what defenses tried to do against Devin Booker?
That's a great question. I think one of the things for Devin is using what the defense is doing against him to his advantage, figuring out what they're trying to do to him. Most teams want to take the ball out of his hands. They don't want him touching the ball. They don't want him catching it. So that's where the movement really comes into play, because it's hard to take the ball out of his hands when he's coming off pin downs, he's setting screens, popping, getting rid of it, getting it back. And so those are things that we work on with him, and then just allowing the game to continue to come to him. And that's something that we're all proud that he does night in and night out, and sometimes not even doesn't get much credit for it, but he's shooting a high clip this year. We're proud of that.
Suns assistant coach Willie Green is joining the Doug and Wolf show, and every Friday 8:15, we always spend time talking Suns. Willie, tell fans and maybe even me as media, what's something an assistant coach does at the NBA level in your daily life that none of us have any idea that you do or how much time you have to spend doing it?
You know, we watch a ton of film. I'm sure you guys are aware of that. You know, we're, you know, checking on our guys day in and day out, text messages, going to dinners, you know, we even sometimes, you know, putting out some minor fires that, you know, just happens throughout the course of the season. But, you know, we're just there to as best we can support Monty, support James, and support our guys. And that's the role of an assistant coach.
So let's really stick it to you now, since this is the first time you're on with us. Who's your favorite player to coach right now on the Suns? Tell us a story.
Yeah, that's definitely a trick question. I definitely enjoy all of our guys. You know, every like I said, everyone is unique. You know, different personalities, and I think that's the beauty in sports. That's the beauty in basketball, is that, you know, you bring everybody together really for one goal, and that's to try to compete to win a championship. And we really enjoy our team.
So you have a young team. Obviously, you played in the league a long time. What is something that you try to impart to each guy to maybe help them game that you learned? Is it different, or is it like one thing that you really just harp on?
Well, I think the biggest thing for us, like you said, having such a young team is, you know, helping our guys realize that you cannot skip steps. It's so important to be a team that's fundamentally sound. And once we can be fundamentally sound and solid, you know, we can continue to grow from there. But let's get our foundation together. Let's be sound on defense. Let's be sound offensively with taking care of the ball and making sure we're sharing the ball. And, you know, our guys have been doing a great job this year. Obviously, we want to continue, you know, to build on that momentum going into the second half of the season.
You know, if you were a football coach, it'd be easy to ask you, what trick play do you want to run against Toronto or something like that? So from a basketball standpoint, can you tell us what the first play is, or tell us anything that's going to happen early in this game?
I don't know the first play right now, but I can tell you one of the things that we have to do against Toronto and their championship experience is we got to take those guys out of transition. And you know, we had just have, like I said, we have to be really sound with them. You know, Van Fleet, Lowry, those guys are, you know, have championship experience. Unfortunately, against us last year, which I'm still not over. But you know, tonight is just going out and being competitive.
Willie, good to talk to you. Thanks for your time. Good luck tonight. Bring it home.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Lorenzo. Appreciate you guys having me on.
No problem. There's Willie Green, Suns assistant coach, filling in for Monty Williams today as Suns are taking on the Raptors tonight. That game is at tip-off 5:30, and that'll be on ESPN 620 AM. Coming up next, if Kyler likes him, should the Cardinals take him? On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Oh, wait, it's 8:30. Now you're just being rude to Paul. This should have played at 8 o'clock there. Paul, I actually defend you this time, but I do flash the pitchfork right in Maloney's face. Take that, Ducks.
I propose Lorenzo Alexander comes out of retirement immediately and runs the Oklahoma drill straight over you, Doug. We have some pads and a helmet right here in the office, and we need to turn you into a tackling dummy. Anyone who's responsible for Loverboy and a Friday Bear.
It brings up the question whether or not Zoe would really take a shot. Because we had this bit one time. I'll tell a story right over Loverboy. In which I was actually a goalie on the ice at Gila River Arena with Doner taking shots.
Wow. Yeah.
And he was very impressed with how well I moved after the puck went past me.
Right.
But I looked like a goalie, even though I didn't stop anything. And then we were talking on the ice and doing a little interview. You want a piece of my heart? And I was totally serious. I said, check me into the boards. And he goes, what? And I said, no, I'm serious. Check me into the boards. And he goes, no, I don't want to. I said, you're not going to hurt me. And I was, okay, this is 50.
Actually, what he did say was you need to sign a waiver first.
Yeah, he did not say that. And granted, Zoe, this is 50 pounds ago, but I was one of those guys in high school that I broke everything. And I don't mean records myself.
Right.
I have all these broken bones, but I just kept playing because I was smart enough to know it's over after high school.
Right.
You're not going anywhere. No one's drafting you. So I have all kinds of shattered bones, and I just played through it. So I'm like, I don't care. You're not going to hurt me. Go for it. for it.
I mean, Doug has no feelings in his ankles. He was wearing flip-flops in 40 degrees yesterday
there's
morning.
There's a lot of truth to that.
There's no nerve endings left.
The blood doesn't flow there anyway.
Yeah, nothing left.
So he skates up, and then right before it's time for impact, he kind of slows up and gives me a bump. And I could tell he wasn't going to do it. So the question is, if I'm in full gear, are you excited to take a shot at the media, or are you a little worried about what it would really be like for the average Joe like me to get hit by an NFL linebacker?
I'll give you the full experience.
Oh, thank you.
That's what you asked for. I'm going to give it to you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, Doug, if you want to go viral, if you really want to go national, Doug, he'll light you up and we'll get the camera. They just put cameras in. It's a perfect opportunity to light you up.
I think there's quite a few fans that would be willing to go through that experience once in their life. They probably wouldn't do it after that.
No, they wouldn't. Not at all. I mean, you just don't know what that feeling is like.
Well, I think that would be a fun way for old linebackers to make some money, you know?
Yeah.
Give you people want to get closer to the action and be in the NFL
you know
experience.
What a concussion feels like.
Now that would be different. I was saying,
It would be.
I want the strike zone. I want chest shot. But I don't want knee shot or head shot.
A concussion has nothing to do with me hitting your head. It's just about the whiplash.
Oh, well, maybe we'll have Matt behind you or something like that. Here is Steve Keim, Newsmakers Week 2020. Wolf just asked him straight out. You want Judy or Lamb?
Both. They're just different.
Good.
You know, they're different games. I mean, you watch CeeDee Lamb, and there are some things that come to mind when I watch him that remind me a little bit of DeAndre Hopkins. You know, you talk about a guy that maybe isn't the fastest vertically, but is gritty, tough, runs great routes. And then you got Jerry Jeudy, who is so smooth and accelerates in and out of breaks and is sort of like a Gumby doll. He's got no stiffness. So they're both great players. I think they're going to have exceptional careers.
The storyline, and the reason why we're playing this for you, is there are more and more outlets that are leaking or finding out information or basically running with the other thing Steve Keim said. After Wolf asked that question, I asked Steve, does it matter that your quarterback went to Oklahoma? Does it matter that you're running an offense with Oklahoma terminology? Does CeeDee Lamb win? Even if you think Jerry Jeudy is slightly above him in your player rankings, would you draft Lamb instead because of Kyler?
Well, from my text stream, you can tell Kyler likes him. But
okay, so we know that. He's running with it, which brings up the question, how much should it matter? And there's no way to gauge a percentage or whatever, but if you're in that room and you're saying Jeudy is better than Lamb, how much better does he have to be before you say, we're not drafting Lamb, we're drafting Jeudy?
Well, how much better?
Yeah.
I mean, it probably has to be significant.
Okay.
And then how are you going to use him in your offense? How are you going to use Lamb in your offense? And who do you think is going to translate, quicker?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, being in the league now and kind of, you know, starting to learn the game in other positions, wide receiver probably next to quarterback is probably one of the hardest transitions. And so,
you mean from college to pro?
College to pro.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So how do you project these guys? Because each one of these guys' game is different. So, mm-hmm. you know, are they true number ones? Are they going to play more in the slot depending on the size and strength and speed and how their game is? And then where do you see it kind of? Because right now the slot position, and if we're talking about smooth and quickness the way Jeudy is playing, he may make an impact a lot quicker than Lamb on the outside when you're dealing with the number one corner potentially every single week. And so they may take that into consideration just as far as how they're going to line guys up. But if they're all equal at the end of the day, I would lean towards somebody that's worked with my quarterback, especially if the relationship and everything checks out on the character side for me and it lines up. I'm going with somebody who knows the system already, because then you cut down the learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're not really worried about him understanding the offense. You're worried about the integral parts of being a great receiver.
Okay.
How do I run routes? How do I get off a jam? How do I read coverages? Other things that could be sometimes slowed down because I'm just trying to learn the playbook, so I'm in the right position or just running the right route.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a dead heat, it doesn't matter. Not to me. It shouldn't be a factor. Whether your quarterback's on board with that receiver, whether your quarterback has a relationship with that receiver, it's got to be a dead heat between the two possible draft picks before that would even factor in. Every single player in that war room, and that's one place we'll never get. None of us will ever step foot in that war room.
I don't see why.
I will.
Every single player.
Don't speak for me.
Is that your goal?
Don't speak for me. I can step in the war room this year if
really?
I want to.
Adrian Wilson's going to get you in? What are you saying?
Are you talking about their war room?
Their Cardinals war room.
I know Kyle really well. I'll call Kyle
right now.
Oh,
you think he's going to let you in the war room?
Will.
You think so?
Of course he will.
Okay, well,
wow. Come on, and never. You never will.
They have the cards, though. Every single player has a card, and on every card is a formula. And there's all these codes and numbers, and it relates to your measurables and your performance and the wonder. Like, everything's up there. At no point are you entering into that formula what Kyler Murray thinks or anybody thinks on your team of a certain player. It's nice. You kind of nod accordingly. You get your text messages with your GM, but it's not really going to factor in. And by the way, if Judy is truly a slot receiver and CeeDee Lamb is the outside receiver, the better X receiver, he'll be the draft pick. That's what the Cardinals really need, is the outside X receiver. That's what this offense sorely needs right now.
I got to tell you, Judy can be whatever you want him to be.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He's more versatile.
I love Jerry Judy.
I'm just saying, in the world of being versatile, you know, you just the way they're going to play.
Yeah,
so you see how it is.
Yeah. If I like what Paul said, if all things are equal. So I ask you, if you just tuned in, Lorenzo Alexander's filling in for Wolf. There's going to be differences in players.
Right.
But if I'm talking about positions, from what you know about the Cardinals, you've got Kyler. So you'd love to have a right tackle, probably. You'd love to have new wide receivers to because you probably have two that are just there, and you need more. You need to be able to stop the run better, and so defensive tackle would be nice. We're still, from the time you were here, still looking for a corner opposite Patrick Peterson, and we still have some massive inside linebacker needs. I should say massive. We got one. We need another one. Sorry, Jordan,
maybe
if you're listening.
Maybe I should come out and play.
Absolutely you should. And then we probably could use a second pass rusher. Out of all those things I just said, with pick number 8, what do you think makes them the best faster? You don't even have to say a name, but position.
What makes them better? If you can find an elite pass rusher in the draft, I mean, that's going to immediately make your defense and your other corner opposite of Patrick Peterson, especially in a world where passing the ball is enormous, it's going to make you better because you have Chandler Jones on one side who probably gets doubled and chipped all the time. If you could put somebody equally as dominant or has that same potential on the other side of him, opposite of him, that makes your defense better. Automatically, because you're impacting the most important person on the field, and that's the quarterback.
That's good. Lorenzo Alexander joining Doug and Wolf as he fills in for Wolf today. Coming up next, ASU. Huge upset win over Oregon. They're now legit. Let's talk to a guy that had a front row seat. ASU analyst Kyle Dodd next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well done, Bear. Quick D-backs note. Archie Bradley won his arbitration case, and we'll get into that coming up at 9 o'clock and the amazing comments he said about arbitration yesterday here on the Doug and Wolf Show. But the reason why you hear the ASU fight song is not because Cal grad Lorenzo Alexander is in the Auction Community Studios, but because Kyle Dodd has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. And this is kind of funny, Kyle. I don't know if you realize this, but tomorrow is the 40th anniversary of the 1980 Olympic hockey team. 40 years since they beat Russia. And the year after they beat Russia is the last time ASU had a 6-game winning streak in conference. It's been that long. Why didn't you get it done when you were a player?
I mean, because I had to play with guys like Brad Nara and you know, dudes like that. I didn't have any help, so... No, I mean, you know, it's really crazy when you think about it. I mean, 39 years, you know, 40 years to win 6 games in the conference, it's a stretch right now that is unprecedented. And just to see a crowd like last night in a non-U of A game, just a regular league game against Oregon, to see that place jam-packed and just really rocking like it was, it's incredible. And I said it on Twitter this morning. Being around the program as long as I've been around as a player, announcer, coach there for a couple of years, I mean, I've seen things over the last couple of years since Bobby got here that I thought I would never see at ASU. And, you know, it's a great feeling. And this is what it feels like to have a good college basketball program.
1-3, 3-4. Those are the conference records of ASU, what feels like 3 years ago, but it was just a month ago. How did we get here? Why have they won 8 of their last 9? What's different?
I think, you know, a big part of their success is when they're knocking down shots. Obviously, you could say that for every team, but when ASU is knocking down perimeter shots, they're so dynamic at the guard spots, and their ability to get in the lane is ridiculous. So when they got guys like Rob Edwards stepping up and knocking down shots, Verge has just emerged as a – basically unguardable guy coming off the bench, and then, you know, Remy doing what Remy does night in and night out. And I just think it's a team that plays extremely hard. They compete like their coach does. You know, they've taken on the identity of Bobby, which most of his teams have. And I just think, you know, it's been fun to watch. And in just small things, like a guy like Mickey Mitchell, since he's been in the starting lineup, you know, Mickey doesn't do a lot on the stat sheet, but getting the basketball moving side to side, getting the offense flowing, he made a bunch of 50-50 hustle plays last night. And, you know, these guys are really coming together, and it just it's crazy. It just feels really good to watch these guys and see the opportunity they put in front of themselves.
How, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Kyle Dodd, color analyst that you can hear right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station for ASU. How much of a letdown was last night's win that you now know you're not going to Dayton, Ohio, America's destination?
Well, we're still not out of the woods yet.
Oh,
but,
come on. Yeah, you guys went from an 11 seed to at least a 7 seed in one game.
As much as I enjoy walking across the parking lot of wherever the heck we stay in Dayton and go to the Texas Roadhouse or something, whatever. The people of Dayton have been great. That's actually such a cool, you know, cool deal that they do. But I got to be honest with you, I don't want to go back to Dayton.
I don't think you are now. The one thing that is kind of interesting, talk to me about Verge, because there's always a negative side where fans would say, why were you playing this guy before, you know, and stuff like that. But what is it about the way Bobby Hurley has brought him into the program, giving him little morsel after little morsel, and now he's allowed to eat the whole pizza at once? What, you know, what is it about how he has been integrated into the program that you're now getting performances consistently like they have from him in this winning streak?
I think, you know, coach has obviously done a good job with all his guys of just, you know, instilling confidence in them, letting them play with some freedom. I think early on for Verge, it was kind of a trust thing between him and Remy and Rob and some guys who just hadn't played together. And Verge, a lot of his stuff early on was coming off pounding the ball, one-on-one type stuff, isolation type stuff, and the offense was just pretty stagnant. I mean, he had 43 in a game against St. Mary's, and he was minus 40 in the plus-minus, which is insane. You know, I mean, but now his offense is coming more in the flow of things. It's maybe 1-2 bounce, get to the rim. I mean, this guy literally is unguardable. You can't keep him in front of you. He uses angles really well. His shoulders are always below the defender's hips, and then his ability to finish creatively, which was a real struggle for him early on. He wasn't finishing. He wasn't hitting shots. Now with him being able to finish at the rim, up over the top of people, up underneath people, it's really cool to watch. I mean, a couple of the finishes he had last night were incredible.
ASU a winner. They improved to now 9-4 on the season, tied with U of A, a half game out of the number one seed in the Pac-12 tournament. And Kyle, I know this is dumb for me to talk about the atmosphere in the arena when I wasn't there and I watched the game on TV, but I've been there a lot of times where ASU has a lead, they start to blow it, and the crowd turns on them, you know, and I'm talking about the last 14 years where the crowd just kind of, oh, here we go again. Oh, woe is us. And they get down on the kids, and it like amounts to an unsurmountable amount of pressure. When ASU started to blow the lead last night, it was one of the first times I ever felt like, and again, watching it on TV, the crowd reengaged in a positive way to push them. Do I have that right? What was the atmosphere like when the lead started to slip away at around, what, maybe the 3-minute mark or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. And I think it helped that part of the reason why they were losing the lead was they got a couple bad calls, you know, so I think that kind of fired up the crowd. You know, they stayed with it because they felt like there were some calls that didn't go the devil's way, and that kept them in the game. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, the crowd was as good as I've ever seen it. I mean, it was from the jump, and the students were incredible. And I mean, for most of that game, the entire arena, and I, you know, they listed 12-9. I didn't see that many open seats. I didn't see any open seats. Mm. So, I mean, it was as close to sold out as I've seen a non-U of A game, like I said. And yeah, it was great. And just to see those guys, like you said, respond and not go, oh man, typical ASU. We can't have nice things, you know, but they were huge. And I think it was huge too, when Oregon came back and tied it, And then we immediately, we scored six straight to stretch that lead back out. And then that got the crowd rolling again. And, yeah, it was incredible atmosphere and a good night for the program. They had, you know, a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts, you know, over the last couple of weeks. But this is huge for the program.
Nothing compares to last night. But when it comes to building a program, how important is Saturday? So that you don't give this win back, that fans don't become event-based. Oh, it's not Oregon, I'm not going. And showing that this is just another building block versus that was the pinnacle on Thursday, let's take it easy against Oregon State.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been around Sun Devil Athletics for long enough, I think immediately once you stop celebrating that game last night, you immediately get that feeling in your stomach like, oh, God, here, Oregon State on Saturday, what could possibly go wrong? They're not playing that well. We beat them at their place. And I think for the Sun Devils, this just feels different. I think they have to stay in the moment. These guys compete night in and night out. They're winning games they should be winning right now, and then they're beating teams that, you know, to elevate their status in the league. So I think you know, for Bobby and the coaching staff, I know they'll have these guys ready. And to me, this is the biggest game of the year, mm-hmm. you know, because it's the next game on your schedule. And it's a game that gets you even closer to what your ultimate goal is, which is getting back to the dance for the third straight year. So I think it's a huge game. And Oregon State's kind of scary because they have a veteran team. And you know, they're not going to be intimidated to come on the road. So they got Trace Tinkle and Stephen Thompson and some guys that can make plays. So it's going to be interesting.
When the broadcast ended, can you give us an example of what Tim Healy sounded like when he took his headset off and, you know, in amazing elation that you had beaten Oregon?
Tim was good. He was on fire last night. I actually stole a line from him. I asked him at the end of the game. I said, hey, can I say it? Can I say your line? And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, doctor! Which I love when he says that. So I think he had some hubba hubbas in there. He had a couple of doctors in there. He had a couple bullseyes in there. But, you know, Tim, he's the best, man. He doesn't drive to the airport like you do, but he's the best on the air.
Hey, we couldn't miss the flight. Sorry to anybody that was in the left lane and in the way. Thank you, Kyle. Good to talk to you. Have a good trip on your next road trip and bring home a win against Oregon State.
All right, my man. I love you.
Love you too, Bob friend. Boy, am I going to get ripped for saying that. You can go to, or thanks to everybody at Coulter Automotive Group for sponsoring the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can see I'm flustered now. Your family owns and operated dealership from Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. That was kind of weird. I said it out of habit.
But you're kind of a weird dude, so it's cool.
I mean, I do say that to some people. And I think he's kind of teasing me for it. Because I'll walk away from somebody and say, man, love you. That was awesome. And something like that. And then I think he was just trying to bust me for it. And then I just kind of regurgitated, well, I don't know what to do right now because that threw me. But there may have been a time as the backup play-by-play voice of Arizona State where Kyle and I were about ready to miss a flight. And Kyle saw a side that very few people see. There's my normal driving, there's I'm in a hurry, and there's I might miss my flight. Woo! Luckily, it didn't sound like that behind us. Coming up next, Archie Bradley wins and talks about it as if he lost. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Love you too, Bob friend.